everyone. Welcome to this Melbourne Parish Council meeting of the Melbourne Area Youth Development Committee, Joint Committee of Melbourne Parish, we say. My name is Sally Ann Hart. I just wanted to say that I'm chairing this meeting tonight. Well, I'm not necessarily. I said I would chair this meeting tonight in a way to get us back on journey, where we're going to, but I think in order for me to chair tonight's meeting, I'll need a proposer and a seconder. Yeah. I'm also very, very happy to pass the gavel to anyone else if they want to do it.
I mean, no, if there's no one else.
Do you need a vote on it,
please?
No.
I do love the vote. Thank you.
And just to put that into some sort of perspective, originally when I wasn't a district councillor, I was on MAID for Melbourne Parish Council. And then due to our terms of reference, I think we could have three from Melbourne Parish Council. And it was felt better that the district councillor didn't take up that role. So that was why we had three. But we're going to be looking into that tonight. But I just want to reiterate, I don't feel able to chair this after this evening. What we're hoping to do is to move forward in January with some new nominations for chair. So should we do a quick round of introductions? Because I'm just mindful that some people might know each other better than others, and some people might look very different from the last time we saw them. So, do you want to start, Gary?
Yeah, I'm Abby the Clark from Melbourne. I'm very keen looking after you.
Thank you.
I'm Andrew, Parish Council in Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm Beck, Parish Councillor in Melbourne as well.
I'm Tina, Parish Councillor Melbourne.
Barbara Pankhurst, Chetworth Parish Council.
And Nick Garner from Mountra.
Thank you. And thank you for those of you coming that aren't in Melbourne. And we've looked on the agenda tonight is looking at changing perhaps the balance and whether or not we have more representatives so that we don't fall into that jeopardy of not being core up for meetings. I'd also now just like to mention John, really, John Travis.
Yeah.
He's not here, retired from Melbourne Parish Council and MAID, and just acknowledge the amount of hard work John put into the MAID. And when we look at the minutes from the previous meeting, I'm sure Abby will talk about your visit.
Yeah.
So just to thank John for what he did. It leaves us in a very, from what I consider, a very healthy situation for MAID moving forward. Okay, that's great.
Hello.
We've just done a round of introductions. Would you mind saying who you are and what you're doing here?
I'm Jay, and I'm here on behalf of Mixed Music.
And at the moment,
Sherry's co-helping me with Mixed Music.
I mean, we were just saying, Jay and Shelley, how we're just acknowledging all the hard work that John did for MAID, and just really mindful of the balance and makeup of the committee. Just to acknowledge, Jay, you're also a parish councillor, and Shelley, you're our responsible parish
officer. Brilliant stuff. It's all about the money.
Excellent. I'd love to say, in terms of looking at John's legacy, what a healthy situation we are in as MAID. I'm chairing, I received a risk group to chair tonight's meeting. I don't intend to chair MAID moving forward, but it's really just to get us back up and running. So, thank everybody for coming. And we are expecting Adam Sanchi, the County Councillor, as well. Historically, this committee has been made up of County Councillors and District Councillors as well, because we can sometimes get information and other stuff. Okay, so moving on then, we're on now MAID 0225 to receive nominations and elect the Vice Chair of the MAID Joint Committee. I'm mindful of Councillor Garner, Nick, who didn't mention in your introduction that he was previously Vice Chair.
True, fair enough, yes.
of MAID. I don't know if there's anybody else who wants to put themselves forward as Vice Chair, or if that's something that we can carry over till January. I'm looking at you, Clark.
I'm happy to keep it. So this is a bit of continuity.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, isn't it, this sort of legacy and this historical stuff that it is important to carry forward, but also to acknowledge that things can change. So thank you. Hello, Councillor Bastet. I'm feeling like Groundhog Day now. Do come in.
Stole your seat.
Adam, would you find it helpful for people to introduce themselves so you know why people here in a different role? Okay, we'll just do it very, very quickly. So you know that I'm sorry, I'm half district councillor and I'm just standing in for chairing tonight's meeting. It's been formally proposed and formally seconded, so unless you want to fight me for it. And you know Abby Alcala.
I'm Andrew, parish councillor here in Melbourne.
Hiya.
I'm Beck, same.
Yes, Mitch.
I'm Jay, the same. I'm also run the mixed music as well.
I'm Shelley, I help Jay with mixed music, but I'm also the RFA for Melbourne.
Okay, cool. I'm Tina, Melbourne PC.
Barbara, Chepreth Parish Council, we met at the Meldrum Level Crossing.
Oh, yes, yeah. which is why I'm late.
Well, the barrier's down.
No, different thing.
Hello, my name is.
And it, you know, for me, one of the great things about this committee is it is a joint committee. And, you know, we used to have Foxton as part of us, we're not now. I'm feeling intrigued when you look at that pie chart of the young people that attended the Connections bus, so there may be some. Then we get more joint people on the committee. Thank you, Nick. And do we need people to vote on that as well?
If you can propose and second
I vote. Propose. You did a good job last time.
And Councillor David to second. Thank you. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you. We were just voting for the vice chair of the joint committee. Okay, so have we got any made 0325? Any apologies for absence?
We have no apologies because we're just forming the committee at the moment, so no apologies at this time.
Lovely, thank you. Any declarations of pecuniary or non-pecuniary interests anybody need to declare? And just to say as a caveat, if something comes up later on when somebody realises, oh, actually, I could have declared that's okay, am I right, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Right, so cast your mind back to the minutes of the meeting held on the 22nd of May 2024. This is May 05/25, and those were resolved and they were accepted. And the results. Sorry, I missed one out.
This is the one. Confused you by putting the minutes out.
Oh, sorry, apologies. Right. Thank you. I kept thinking, I'm sure the meeting was in January. Yeah, I was thinking it was in the new year. Sorry, apologies. So May 05/25/26 is to consider the minutes of the 30th of January, which wasn't as far ago.
No, not quite, but almost.
Anybody, anything to comment on in terms of accuracy or spelling mistakes or anything like that?
No, they all seem fine to me.
Yeah, it was a really for me, a nice reminder of where we were at, and obviously we've had a bit of a pause. Do you need someone to propose to accept those minutes?
Happy to propose them.
Thank you, Councillor Garner. And thank you, Councillor Barnes, to second those. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Thank you. And I think there's a paper or there are notes to report on the actions of that meeting.
There is a
06/25/26. It's up there on the screen for everyone.
If I just do a bit of a background, so the Connections bus started again in February after a bit of a hiatus, getting the new buses and things. So that kicked off just after we met, which was good. Mixed Music will provide a verbal report later on in the meeting, so we'll have an update from them. Pavilion expansion was mentioned back in January, and it's come back round again to being a hot topic for us, so we're looking at that. Councillor Travis and I went for a visit to Lithport, which was really informative and really exciting, really, because they did exactly what we're hoping to do, is to provide a purpose-built youth provision within the community, with the help of employing a youth worker or youth kind of funded person, and it was just really interesting. So there's a little report in there as well that you can read about that, and just looking at how they did it with an awful lot of funding, but also then precepting after that to find stuff. And then there was more talk about the youth worker, looking at the job spec and how we'd like to move on. I think it's more about getting somebody in that can source funding, can research what's best for us, rather than having a youth worker. We'd probably hire those services in rather than having somebody here all the time. So just looking at the best way of moving on with that. And then in the supporting documents, there's a little report about the support and what we learned on our trip from a really active council that seemed to get funding from absolutely everywhere. I think FEN funding might be slightly different to funding around here.
Slightly easier, in my experience.
They get it offered left, right and centre, but it really gave us some ideas with the two-year trial for the youth worker and what they're doing and how they're engaging the youth is just really inspiring. So we'll bring some of that along the journey as we go, I think.
Lovely, thank you. Can I just ask, in terms of comparing Liverpool as a village or village, does it count as a village?
They're a town.
A town, yeah. How does that compare with Melbourne? Obviously we've got the surrounding villages as well.
Yeah, I must admit I was a little bit naive because I thought we were quite comparable when I first went, but when we got there and heard the stories of a very different proportion of people that are out of work, lots of kids that aren't in school, so it's a very different landscape than it is here.
Yeah.
But I think we can learn a lot from how they've done it rather than why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They have an awful lot of issues that we don't have or don't seem to have. So
but we could prevent.
Pardon?
But we could prevent.
Yes, we could prevent indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that's what tapped into the amount of level of funding they were able to get.
I'm sure, yeah.
It just helps us understand, doesn't it, that landscape, brilliant. And,
yeah.
And thank you for going with Councillor Travis checking that out. Okay,
is the property just used as a youth club?
It's used for many things, but it's basically an all-day drop-in centre. There's somebody based there, and there's an awful lot of kids that don't go to school or don't have somewhere safe to go. So they end up dropping in there during the day, after school.
As well,
right? Mainly, yeah, because it's staffed with an office and things that they can just pop in and have a safe space and computers to use.
It's not a formal after school club.
They do run those as well, so they have specialist provisions, but they also, it's mainly they needed that space for them to be able to
very
go through and
know
they could get help.
Thank you, yeah, it's really interesting.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment. I'm aware that the report has a big drug problem.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
But this, that could all, whatever we provide in the village could also be used for other things like birthday parties and other different things to bring an income back into it, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think moving on from that idea of employing a youth worker per se, because we were told by Amanda Sylvester how hard they are to find and recruit, and you know, the fact that we might source it from existing. I don't know how many councillors people are aware of that we used to use groundwork for our youth provision, and they've been running a free Wellies in the Wood over the last 8 or 9 weeks in the Millennium Cops, and it's such a shame because they didn't get that many people, but the actual experience they offered, so how that was, so it was for preschool children, and I just stumbled across it because I happened to see Hannah in the woods when I was walking the dog. And hence my granddaughter enjoyed every single week of it. But they're very, very... So they are looking, I mean, we can perhaps look to reach out to... And they will look to run those things. But I think it is about that promotion as well, isn't it? You know, sometimes it goes very, very quiet. And that was, I think, one of the issues we found with groundwork. Some of the stuff wasn't particularly as well publicised as the stuff that you're doing and also the collections of us. Yeah. Any other questions on where we are then with the... actions sort of going forward, which feel quite heavy in some ways, but amazing. It would be a wonderful thing, I think, for us to be able to achieve as a area youth
worker. I think that just on the side with the youth and obviously the school and having teenagers myself, there are different type of breed. And they need something in order to prevent this area becoming what everywhere else is like.
Trying to get the engagement.
Yeah, because they're so engaged in their phones and the social media, they're being kind of pulled in that direction in something that's cool in their eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of when we go on to look at the connections bus, we can see sort of how that engagement has gone there. And obviously, Jay, when you give your feedback with the young people you're working with. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brian. If we move on then to MAID, the 7/25/26, the MAID accounts. As I'm mindful, Shelley, you're here wearing multiple hats, but I'm not sure if it's you or if the clerk wants to present those accounts.
Well, that's how glorious RFO is here.
It's relatively healthy to start with, and this takes us right the way through to September, which leaves us with a balance of 8.4. So Melbourne do precept £6,500 each year for spend on the youth. The connections bus is primarily the biggest spend. Mixed music, the reason it's quite healthy is that mixed music hasn't really incurred a huge amount of expenses this year because we've managed to get funding from other opportunities as well. So obviously we put some funds in there to kind of support going forward. But it's relatively healthy. So we've got £6,500 each year going in, and that's all we've got at the moment. Although we say it's healthy, it does go down to just over £8,000. So there has, if we're gonna get someone in, we need to kind of consider the kind of future going forward, and then there's community grant funds that we haven't put in there at all. So this is just the cash flow, really. But that's kind of saying what we think might happen in the next year.
Thank you. I'm just aware, and Councillor Garner, maybe I can ask you, I can't remember where we were with Meldrith. I saw from before it was about,
I think the line of attack I'll take.
Negotiation.
It looks like it's £2,500 for the bus term, isn't it? So the three terms, so it should be 7.5. So I don't know where the maths is going wrong there. Is that right, sort of?
It's there or thereabouts.
Yeah. And then let's call it £2,000 for mixed music. So that's sort of like headline spend, simple sort of numbers. So I'd look for kind of asking for a percentage of that. I would have hoped to get something like 2. That seems about right. And also looking at that chart, we get to it, as the sort of the contributing, the main two contributors, 6.5, 2, seems about the right sort of portion. So that's what I'll go to Barry. Rough and ready. I won't overcomplicate it with detail, because I tend to find that gets picked at and unwound rapidly. So that's broadly what I will think of. And now we've got a full year of connection bus, I think, that's what I can go in with.
Yeah.
So I'd hope to have that done by the end of this financial year.
Yeah.
So that'll be our annual contribution for 25-26. And then we'll kind of do the same going ahead, based on whatever that looks like when we do a full year going ahead.
Yeah, I know we're going to come on to the connection bus numbers. I'm going to ask Jay for Mixed Music. Do you get anybody from Meldrith coming to Mixed Music?
I've got two.
I think that's quite, it's always been quite a good attendance given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two out of how many?
It's generally about 7 or 8.
Wow.
But it depends sometimes that they come, sometimes they don't. But we have a solid 5 or 6 that turn up every week.
And two from Meldrith are in the solid.
When I was trying to work it, I used that because it was like 2 out of 5. It was a very high percentage. It was useful.
Yeah.
But I think the percentages, I just go broad brush.
One of them does the DJing for the ladies.
Excellent. Obviously we're going to come on to the chart a bit later on and then think about what we might also, because it is a joint committee. I'm mindful that to say that Foxton are no longer part of the committee, but we'll come on to that later on. Thank you for that, Shelley. And I think that's going to help us make a decision on the next agenda item, 08/25/26, to receive and consider report on the Connections Bus Project. And part of A of that is to consider acceptance of the 2026 costs as proposed by the Connections Bus. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Yes, so I attended the Connections Bus AGM recently online, and it was a really interesting, they do such brilliant things, and they're doing a really good job. The new buses have proved to pay dividends, really, so the numbers have gone straight back up again and introducing some more people. The Ternary report's really interesting about what the kids are talking about and what they're dealing with at the moment. So that's an interesting little report from Alan there. Looking at the numbers, again, it's not surprising that most people are coming from Melbourne, but we've got Barrington, Royston, the Trumpington ones are interesting, and Combleton, because it seems such a long way to come for the bus, but I think they're coming, they're using it because they don't have it where they are.
Sorry, can you just get me up to speed? What is it?
The connections bus comes every Tuesday evening during term times and parks at the Village College, and it's a bus that's got things like game stations on it, it's got youth workers on there that do crafts, do cooking, do talk about different things, and it gets used all throughout the year. In the summer it's mainly a bit of a drop-in, so they turn up and then go and play somewhere else or do something, but they're there, they're providing information, they do cookery classes, they're offering things like babysitting classes, that sort of thing, and just getting the kids to join in.
Yeah.
What time does the bus arrive?
6:30, because we wanted them to leave a little bit earlier because it was disturbing people around the area, so 6:30 till, I believe, 8:30, but I could be wrong.
It's just that I've seen one or two kids in the playground at the mall, and I thought they were probably waiting for the bus to arrive. So it's sort of after dark, but they're still there playing on the swings.
Okay.
And I'm sure if anybody from the committee wanted to, you know, you're welcome to go down and see it there. It is excitement
down,
of a double decker bus, you know. Think of summer holiday.
That's got gaming and all sorts of, which they love the gaming. So that was a film that was on.
Do you have the age range that are on there at all?
Yeah, the biggest, it's on that term report at the top. So that 13 to 14 year old one seems to be, and the way that that's growing, which is, you know, perhaps at that stage of development where you're sort of branching out a bit, and if you can offer something that is a safe space to explore some of that stuff. Like you, Abby, I was really interested in the conversation. I know, I'm just saying this just to get it on the record, that Connections are well aware of their safeguarding duties. The things that really worried me reading that was the young person that's in the care of the local authority that was describing feeling hungry and having to go home and make their own food. So I'm just, am I right in thinking that would, the processes would be followed up?
In terms of
foster care and support, and also, you know, obviously support for the child. I love the fact that they love the toasted sandwiches. I know Groundwork did try to do some of that stuff, cooking stuff, but I just don't think the young people found the pavilion a cool space to be in. Whereas, you know, a bus that comes and goes and has got all those things going in. And just looking at that, the mixed music. So, did you have any joy there with doing some joined up stuff with the bus?
They said to contact Alan.
We
haven't actually contacted
him. I imagine you've been very busy.
This is why we need a youth coordinator.
Yeah. Any other questions on the report from the Connections Bus Project before we go ahead?
It's a sort of irrelevance, but Barrington used to have their youth club, which is why I think their numbers are always pretty low. Has it stopped? I'm just wondering why that. You know, it's unusual for them to be such a large attendance from Barrington.
Barrington used to have a youth
club. And they used to have a youth club. I wonder if that stopped or something, or it's just
that might be
a little friendship group, because
maybe.
And also, they've been having difficulty getting scout leaders, haven't they?
Right. So I wonder if that's anyway.
So I'm just wondering if that. And then, so traditionally, children from Barrington would go to Combleton rather than come to Melbourne Village College,
right?
I think they come to the area. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you say you might get friendship groups, or you might get
active.
Because they all travel on the school bus.
So I'm sort of jumping ahead and thinking maybe this is a discussion for January rather than now, but looking at those figures,
Looks like Barrington ought to be invited.
If those numbers persist. But that's something maybe that we can see.
Well, they were originally, because they are in the village college's catchment area, but I think because they had their own youth club, they said, well, no, it's all right, thank you.
Yeah.
We're doing our own thing. So I'm just interested.
Yeah. So that's evolved. Something for us to review in January. I'm not sure, so I mean, to Shepworth in terms of their contribution, is it because they've only got one person coming?
Well, last year we gave you £250, right. But as you say, only one person from Shepworth has used it, so, and we are such a tiny village compared with you folks.
Yeah. So we perhaps need to review that then, seeing going ahead where we go with that. So is it okay to put that on to January? Lovely. Thank you, everyone. So in terms of accepting the cost for the 2026 proposed by Connections Bus, for me it seems very reasonable. You know, mm-hmm. They will have increased, they're not. Is anybody okay? Yes, Councillor Davis.
It occurred to me, I saw somewhere that they were going to charge the young people a small sum for partaking in some of these activities. Yeah. It just occurs to me, are there any kids that really can't afford it? Should we actually have a contingency fund that they can tap into?
Yeah, I mean, that comes up. I think that's one of the things. Is it later on? It's the one about the intergeneration, isn't it? About
if I can just jump in. So the Generation Gain course has been offered to Melbourne Village College, so it's not coming through the parish council. Mm. So they're working with the Village College to provide this. I don't know if you know about it, but they go and talk to the older generation and interact with them and do all sorts of things. So they're doing babysitting in some places and they're doing Generation Game here. We've encouraged them to work with Stephanie, our time bank coordinator and community coordinator. They're going to work together. They have subsidy pots to help the kids that can't afford to contribute. But it is something that I think if it takes off, that will be another... a string to Alan's bow, and he'll probably be asking the very same question. Could we put that together?
It took me a while. I thought Generation Game. But that's again. We used to, for those of you who didn't, Melbourne Parish Council used to fund young people at Melbourne Village College serving a lunch to older people. Sometimes used to be at the Cambridge Motel, it used to be at the Village College previously, and it was a really lovely intergenerational event. And sadly, after COVID, that sort of So this, I think, is a really nice idea. So it's nice, I think, in terms of us getting the Village College back liaising with us. Groundwork's going on at the Connections Bus. So we've got sort of somebody else in this partnership on this triangle with us. So we'll come back to us if there are issues. Yes.
They do still have food technology at the college, do they?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you sign up to go to the art exhibition after the GCSEs, you get to sample the wonderful delights that the students make, and it's really elaborate. They put on this huge spread and they serve it, and they're so proud of themselves. You know, they may not be the artists within the art exhibition, but they are the food technologists, and would really, really recommend to go along. And the artwork is incredible.
I won't do it this year. My son's doing it.
Don't do it this year. Shelley's got some inside information. But yeah. Brilliant, thank you.
So what did they charge for the Connections Bus? What did they charge the children for?
This is just the Generation Game course. So because it's looking to further skills, so it's aimed at the slightly older kids, maybe that might want to go into care work, that sort of thing. So it's a kind of a course teaching them how to interact with people. So the babysitting one is very similar. It's like a training course, basically.
Something for their CV. Lovely. Thank you. So do we need someone to propose to accept the cost for the connection?
Happy to propose a 5% increase.
Somebody second that, please. Councillor Daly, all those in favour?
Thank you.
I just realised now, in terms of our terms of reference, while I'm sitting on this committee wearing, I just realised I voted and I can't vote because I'm not a councillor. It's only the people at the members of the committee that can vote. That's okay. Once we've changed how many people can be on the committee, we can change that. Okay, thank you. So moving on to May 09/25/26, to receive and consider report from Mixed Music DJ Project.
But not a huge amount has changed, if I'm honest, but that's mainly because we can't take too many more children because of the situation, and I can't kind of cater for too many. It gets a bit. We tried. We did have a few more, and we brought them in. We tried a few different things. We got a games machine and stuff like that, which we still use, but it kind of took them away from what we was there to do, and it kind of become a youth club,
right,
which is not what we wanted to generally push it towards. So,
do you mind, Jay, just for perhaps Adam's benefit and maybe Andrew's benefit, just explaining, I mean, the whole what mixed music is?
Basically, we teach kids how to DJ, all different genres of music, some like drum and bass, some like pop music, some like 70s and 80s, it's a real varied. A couple of them do the day disco for the Time Bank. And then others have kind of progressed, and we take them to events, and they play at under 18s events. But they've all come from nothing really. They didn't know what any buttons were. They didn't know what, so they've come quite a long way, to be honest.
Yeah. And where does it take place? Where does it take place?
It sometimes is at my house in my own studio.
Yeah.
Sometimes at a pavilion.
Okay.
It's a bit of both really, but. That they really enjoy it, and like I said, one of them from Meldrith, she's doing really well. But she likes the Time Bank stuff, so she likes the 70s and the 80s. And then we've got another young lady from Melbourne, and she did her first event in the summer in Braintree, and we had her parents come up and stuff like that. We also do diet days out, so we took a couple of them for a day out to a DJ expedition in London a few weeks ago, and they loved that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Took them up on the train, and
they've become like a little family of DJs, and like James explained, we've got a studio in the bottom of our garden, to my despair, and they come along. We've got a child with quite severe autism. He absolutely terrible at the decks, but loves it. Absolutely loves it.
Comes with the social element.
Yeah, comes with the social element of the little family. You know, they're a great bunch of kids, and they all like get an opportunity to do different things. But the studio in the garden is a lot kind of more properly set out, whereas when you go to the pavilion, it becomes really echoey and quite.
And obviously, set up and take down, so
yeah.
Doing my own studio kind of takes that bit away.
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say that this provides something that the young people that come and access this would perhaps not typically go on the Connections bus.
No.
Well,
they range from, well, we've got 11 to 15, basically, is the range that we've got.
If anybody wanted to join, is it now there's like a waiting list if people
not really, it's not necessarily a waiting, I mean we could take on a couple more if they wanted to, but I didn't really want to advertise and then not be able to cater for them.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of hoping to get the youth worker or youth helper to kind of help in that respect, and if we could get a designated space, then we could have more come along because we'd have more space and more, and we'd have more help.
Yeah.
So, because we did have another volunteer, but then his work kind of took him away from that. So he came down and again, and he popped in the other day. That's the first time for a long time. So it's kind of just me and Shelley at the moment. So with the 7-8 kids that we've got, that's quite enough for the time being. But we would like to push it further.
Yeah.
But we need the resources to do that.
I'm just wondering if, again, that networking with the college, if there was a young person there that they thought could really benefit from that as an extracurricular thing, to almost go through like a formal referral thing now, because you say you've got your established group and you introduce other people into that. Just wanted to also flag up that you give your time completely
for my sins.
Yeah, but you've also, you know, again, our responsibility to the young people, you've done all the safeguarding stuff that need to be done, so we're doing our due diligence on that. But it's a, I think it's a, you know, a really unique situation. I've not heard of any other village offering that. But I think I saw, did I see something that, it's one thing that often comes out of the community safety partnership at South Cambridge District Council is boxing. They see that as a way to help young people channel some of that stuff. And I keep saying, there's this other thing as well. It's a little creative, but I'm really mindful it takes specialist equipment, which you have.
Yeah, which we've got, yeah.
Yeah, did you want to?
I just wanted to put my Amanda hat on. So if Amanda Sylvester was still here with us, she'd be saying they're being very, very guarded on what they do. They also are teaching them really valuable skills, business skills, because they're going through things like merchandising schemes and looking at running things as a business. So I think Amanda was just pushing you, because it's not just looking at DJing for DJing's sake, it's all the things that come around it and all the extracurricular stuff they're getting from it. And when Kathy joins, so Kathy's replaced Amanda and she's going to join us hopefully at the next meeting, so it'll be another kind of introduction to her about what we're doing and where we can get funding and things from that. But it's just to say that it's a lot more than DJ.
And also it's confidence and social skills as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Some of them come from, I mean, when they turned out they were like little mice and everyone wouldn't say anything, they didn't speak, did they at all? We couldn't get we tried to push them to, we couldn't get them to speak, and now they're shut up.
I'm just wondering, I know we've got it further on our agenda to consider the community grant funding. Now often as Melbourne Parish Council we encourage people who are bidding for funding to come forward, if there might be a couple of them who would feel confident enough to come along and say this is the difference this is made, because there'll be other people at that meeting who are applying for funding who would then be able to hear their voices and the difference it made. So maybe no pressure obviously, but if they wanted
we have connections with another group that do this over in Essex, so they're quite a lot further away. In fact, the lady that runs it has contacted me and asked me to go on a meeting with her next Monday. And they run the group, but they do events, and at these events they have talks from knife crime victims, all sorts of stuff that when you listen to them you're like, well, that's eye-opening. And it's quite good.
And we've taken our kids down there as well, so they kind of do listen to them as well.
Yeah. So it's a real exposure to all sorts of stuff through the safety of them. Brilliant.
And she's brilliant as well.
And she wants to work with us here and do some stuff with us here, so there's all options. Yeah. It's just kind of time and having someone maybe that can support us with going forward.
And that links beautifully to something later on the agenda. So, then, any other questions for mixed music?
No, it's brilliant. I think clearly it would be lovely to develop it further, but we need the resources around that first. Yeah.
So should we be funding them at Journey? Well, I'm wondering about that. So that's something we need to think about, and maybe that's for the January meeting as well. Mm. Yeah. So thank you for that. Okay, to move on to the next agenda item. Okay, so we have our terms of reference. Thank you, Abby, for having those up on the screen. And it was really to look at these and update it in relation to current practices. You'll see that Foxton is no longer part of MAID. One of the things that's been a challenge, I think, certainly for Melbourne, that was, when was this document first done? Sorry, apologies.
I think it was 2020.
22.
Oh, so it wasn't that long. Last time it was
a tweak around then as well. Fundamentally, it's been around
for a long time. That's what I was thinking about. So, originally we said there would be just three councillors from Melbourne, and up to two each from the other participating councils. So feel free to bring a friend next time, if you want to. There's nothing to stop Adam from being on it as well as being the captain.
I think Adam is actually a Meldrick nominee, aren't you?
Wearing your okay, brilliant. But the great thing is we've got economies of scale because you're also the county councillor, so we can use that for that as well if you choose to stay. So the proposal is to, and if you perhaps want to give a bit of background behind that, Abby, about increasing it to five for Melbourne.
Yeah, just one, because we'd like to make sure we're core and we can hold meetings slightly more regularly, and it's quite tricky when we're asking everyone to come out. So the idea of upping it to 5 is just to make sure that we are quorate when we do call meetings. I didn't presume that you would want to add any more from the other council, but that can change. So it's introducing 5 so that we can have some new members on the board and do a bit more with what we're doing, I think.
And certainly for me that makes sense when we're looking at what we're considering in terms of expansion. Any other changes in there we need to be aware of?
I just removed connections that were specifically to the youth club because that no longer exist, and I've changed some of the references to the financial agreement, which were references to youth clubs. And it's looking at just an agreed contribution each year, so that would be not based on youth club numbers, but based on discussions around other things that we're providing.
Okay.
And then the general terms is, instead of being youth clubs, it's youth activities, so it's broadening out what we can do.
Okay.
That is a little change on there.
Is there still something in there that says that the chair of MAID needs to be a Melbourne Parish Councillor?
There is, yeah. Due to our financial regulations, it would mean that we'd need to chair this committee if we were to then, because we fund the precept of funding for $6,500, so we'd need to keep a chair, but, you know.
Because the chair is a casting vote, I'm going to choose some other precept. Any questions on those changes?
No.
Seems very sensible. I'm just thinking, Nick, that means you can't be chair.
What a shame.
Thank you. So, do we need to, somebody to propose those changes in terms of reference? Thank you, Councillor Barnes. Somebody to second those. And Councillor Davey, all those in favour? You can't. Can you have it? Because you're on committee. Yes.
Yeah.
You can vote and I can't. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So in terms of actions going forward, as I say, really mindful that this meeting is about getting things started again. But if we just perhaps have an initial discussion about this idea of moving away from perhaps employing a specific youth worker, but to build on the idea of another community coordinator. Some of you will know we also have, at the moment, we have the wonderful Stephanie, who's our community coordinator, who's moved on from our time bank to do so many other things. And so this, although this is perhaps a bit more of a specification to do with younger people, but it would also be in a supporting role as well. Do you want to say a bit more?
I was hoping that this would just be the start of a discussion document around perhaps next time we meet, going through and really finalising it so that people can think about it and have a look. So what we've done, part of the trip to Liverpool and part of looking around other town councils and parish councils and how they're dealing with the same issue, and just looking at the kind of job spec that's working for them. Lots of people moving away from youth workers and moving more into community coordinators, so we're following suit there, and then just employing in the specific services because they can do it a lot better than we could do it. So, and it's just looking at what we want the job spec to look like, and the proposal would be that MAID would manage this person for probably the 2-year period or 3-year, I think, I can't remember what I suggested, but look at the success rate of funding opportunities, what we can provide, what they can find that we can do with the area, and with a look to making it a permanent thing. So it would be managed by MAID, would set some KPIs out so that we can kind of keep track of what we think we should be doing and where we're going to. And it's just go away, have a think about it, think if there's anything missing from the specification, and we can work on kind of finalising that in the coming months, I think.
Can I ask, says specifically Melbourne, and obviously you're providing all the money and lots of the ideas, but would that include Meldrith and Shepworth children who come and share with these activities?
Yeah, I think the provision would probably be based in Melbourne rather than it being, it's not focused on Melbourne, it would continue to be a and community.
Yes.
So I think looking at the graph as well from the connections bus, it would have to include local communities.
Yes.
I think that would also provide for greater opportunities for funding and for
arm twisting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think just the base would be in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I think that follows a similar model to what we did when we first employed a time bank coordinator. Mm-hmm. We were part of a pilot, so we got funding, and then we were chosen as a parish council to continue it, and then we took on the funding ourselves, but based on an initial 2-year or 3-year commitment initially.
Similar point, I mean, it's, I saw this in the papers and looked very sensible. We talked about it last time. Yes, it's sort of contingent on trying to achieve all those grants and things that are out there, which are sort of, we can't, haven't got the time and energy, you know, and even capability to understand them sometimes to achieve. And that's why it's a 2-year or whatever program, you're saying it's a similar thing. It's sort of going to cost about, 14,000 ish, when you've got national insurance and everything on it.
Yeah.
So it's a fair chunk of cost, considering that's more than all the services we're doing at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, that's the game afoot. Let's see if we can kind of raise that and improve the overall service delivery. The only thing I was, yes, in terms of its. One of the missing elements is sort of embedded into the village college somehow, because that's always a sort of ebb and flow relationship, because there isn't someone there all the time to sort of have those conversations with them. And I don't know what the village college would think of that, but it would be nice if they could be somehow, part of their well-being team or something. They must have something. They will. That would be. Cool. And Little Port, you said, have done this. So, there are examples of success elsewhere that we can look at. How do they work with the local school?
Yeah, Little Port schooling is very, very different. It's not the same. They have a direct input into the school. They're in the school more than they're out of the school. Right. So they're delivering all of their things like the knife crime talks. That's what Little Port Town Council are taking into them.
Right.
And they're welcomed. Our in, I think, here is working with the Youth Communities Group in the South Council, District Council and County. We've got contacts there that are, they're struggling to get into the college as well. So we've got a bit further than they have at the moment, just being a little bit more local. So it would be working with them and kind of using their opportunities as well.
We've had a positive connection with the Village College, but also we've recently had a meeting, Abby, you were there, with the Practical Solutions Group. I don't know if everybody is aware of that. So this was a group that Susan set up in the past to basically look for practical solutions and improvements locally with people from the communities team, councillors, police at times, the schools. And we're basically going to keep that going and looking to have a meeting at the Village College in February. And and this is sort of one of the main reasons why I'm here, because, that'll be the link to all of you will be important for that group. Mm. Yeah.
And the history of that was they wanted to call it the Antisocial Behaviour Group, and Councillor Susan and Ben, with a wonderful spin, and let's call it the Practical Solution. And so I think it's other area sometimes it's called the Problem Solving Group. It is very much about let's come up with a solution rather than just label it as
one. I thought it was going to encourage antisocial behaviour. The group got together to go out.
That's where Councillor Statue's at. Brilliant. And so we'll hang it over till.
Yeah, I think if I share with everybody after the meeting with the minutes and things, and then ruminate over it and send any suggestions in the next meeting, hopefully we can kind of define something to bring to council and get approval that way.
Can I just ask, you mentioned that this role would be monitored or by MAID. How does that fit in? Look, I put my chair of HR panel for Melbourne Parish Council. How would that fit with that?
I think that the HR panel would override everything, but I think that their work and their kind of methodology would be run monitored through MAID,
right, okay.
And they'd be reported back to HR panel and Melbourne Parish Council, and obviously the other parish councils that are involved, whoever it's going to be. But yeah, I think.
Because I'm just thinking in terms of HR panel's terms of reference, as is to make recommendations to full council about the resources required to meet the needs.
Employment is still being controlled by Melbourne Parish Council and the HR panel. It would be the work that we're doing and the directions that they were going in, I think, would be controlled. Yeah.
So would that mean that the clerk, it came under the clerk's responsibility, but for me, okay, that's probably cross that bridge when we get there. Okay, lovely. Thank you. Yeah, so if, sorry, Councillor Daly?
I'm just thinking, if we're likely to expand the group, should we be putting feelers out at this stage to the likes of Barrington to see whether they'd be willing to, or could find a councillor that would come and join, and possibly even going back to Foxton and saying, actually, you know, we're providing activities for children from, would you consider sending or asking whether you've got a councillor who'd be willing to come and join?
Foxton have declared no for this year, but they've also asked to be kind of involved.
Kept in the loop. But it's just that I'm thinking if we loop it till January, we then lost sort of a couple of months. And if we just sort of reach out to them at this stage, just to see whether they might consider.
And I think we could do that. I mean, we've got the data here from Connection, so there's, in terms of, you know, including people, we could reach out to all the people in that chart, say we know that from the feedback. When you'll be welcome to send a representative. Might need a bigger room. But
that's another committee.
I think that's a really good idea. Is that okay?
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on then to May 12, 2025, 2026 to consider the community grant funding application, and that's so I'm mindful that that would, is this just 26, 27, so we're not talking about the meeting in December, we're talking about the meeting in June.
So originally I was thinking this is for, we have a closing date of Monday for grant applications for December. Originally I was thinking we would make an application for December, but our glorious Arpa in the corner has advised me that we don't need to at the moment, so we'd hold off until June. So I think we can bring this back in the new year again and look at whether we go for a grant application through.
My way of thinking with this is that if we wait, because we've got some funds in there at the moment, if we wait till a bit later on, we might have a bit more of an idea of which direction MADE is going.
Right.
And this one, Mixed Music, are going to go for some funding, which I need to do the paperwork for, because we'd like to hold a youth event in the village, so a bit like the Melbourne Faith, but cooler.
smaller and cooler.
I like the Faith, but it's, you know, it's family day rather than kind of.
It's going to be family orientated, but more towards music than.
Am I right in thinking, good to meet Clarks, in terms of the our rules are for grant application, there would be nothing to stop MADE putting an application
and
in June, but also do one in June and also in November next year if we needed to, because they're not in the same financial year.
Same financial year. So they could do one now and do one in June. And also Mixed Music and MADE at the same time.
So that's all I'm wondering about, not doing one for November.
I just don't know whether there's enough plans to
what was
there. That's where my thought process was coming from. There's no future plan. We couldn't sit there and go, like, this is what's going to happen to support that grant funding. Because it's kind of gone a bit.
It's been a bit quiet, I guess, yeah.
So we've got to make an application, then we'll be covered.
We'll cover some of the
MADE
stuff.
And we looked at the accounts, we're in a healthy position because there was that lull with the connection bus. So I think you're right. I mean, the only thing I noticed in there that obviously the figure will be different in terms of, well, it depends what the connections bus will look like. So at the moment it says 90% of the people are from Melbourne, whereas it's 50%, and maybe you know, it'll go up.
Yeah.
And then we just need to consider how much we apply for. So is that okay for everyone if we don't ask in this round from Melbourne, but we go for the June one? Do you need a proposal seconded for that?
I don't need that one. No.
Thank you. We're just considering. Thank you. Okay. All right. So moving on then, penultimate item, May 13, 25, 26, Any took second notices or anything? What are notices? Have you got any notices?
No, I don't know. I just pick that up from every other meeting. Okay.
Just has come through from someone. No? Okay. And just anybody on the committee, is there anything, any ideas or matters for us to... Obviously, we've got some matters going forward anyway, but anything else that we haven't covered? It's a nice way of doing AOB without it. I'm going to have to call it AOB. Yes, Councillor Davey.
The primary school for the year sixes to come for an evening at the Connections bus.
Well, you've read your pack, Councillor Day. You mentioned that in one of the evenings it was when it was right. The induction.
Yes.
It was the year six induction.
That's really what I was asking.
So again,
are we going to do it again?
I would think they use those opportunities.
Connections bus do that.
The service provider does that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They do that. Yeah. Which is great, isn't it? Because that's one of those things you have to think about. And just looking at those figures again for the take-up, it seemed to be not the year 7 so much, but more the year... Was it year 7 and 8 or years 8 and 9?
These
are the numbers. So I get mine mixed up. I'm still in key stage, whatever. So year 11, with that... Sorry, 11-year-olds are sort of tend to be the year 7, so the 12 and 13 is year 8s. Yeah. So Yeah, interesting numbers, and maybe, you know, when you first join in year 7, it's all a bit too much. I just want to get home at the end of the day. Yeah, but I would find it helpful just to confirm the hours again for the connection bus, because I know we had that discussion, because I thought part of it was, at this time of year, you know, if they go home and it's dark, coming out again is sometimes, and maybe that's why we don't get so many of the year 7s in this term, but it sort of gradually moves on when it feels safer for them to go out, back out when it's dark. So
I think that's why there are so few from Shepworth, because they've got to get across the big road.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So we perhaps look at how those numbers change. So this was for this term, April, July, that's summer months, yeah. Okay, we'll just keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Any other ideas or...
Can I ask, are all parish councils sort of publicising the Connections bus on their websites? Mm. And should we?
Absolutely. I think, as we said before, didn't we? And I think did you say something else?
At the last meeting, I remember we were told that we would get flyers. I was particularly keen to get them for Shepworth, obviously, because there's a fixed number of children taking the school bus.
Yeah.
But that never happened. Right. So I'm just wondering whether we can pursue a little bit more about the publicity, the fact that it exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was trapped in the fact that then the buses went off the road.
Yes. We didn't have any buses.
Yeah. Buses, and then the new buses. And but that might be a good relaunch of that to get some publicity and to invite the clerks to put things on the website as well, under a youth section or,
Would you be able to draft something like pass on?
Yeah.
Lovely. Anything else anybody wanted to add?
What's the next step with the pavilion expansion? What's the...
So that was brought up at maintenance meeting yesterday, and it will also be coming to parish council meeting and the futures meeting.
Okay, so kind of what's this space sort of thing?
We think we'd probably be spinning out to perhaps look at asset development rather than just the pavilion, so it's not narrowing it down to one thing, so because there's opportunities across the village rather than just in one place. So I think we're going to talk about that at the parish council meeting in November.
Cool.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. I mean, that's one of the things about when you have a parish council that's committee, then things get discussed in committees and then they come to full council. So sometimes it's like, well, what happened with that? So we will be going. So watch this space. Anything else?
Yeah. Yeah, I've already mentioned the practical solutions group, so maybe we should consider how we report made or vice versa, or at some point if we keep going in once we've got a bit more shape of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to mention, and I mentioned this at all the meetings I go to, and it's sort of youth, young people related, is we've got an LHI, a local highways project in Melrith, which is to improve the footways from Aurora Melrith Manor, which is this good for disabled young people, all the way to the train station. I probably can't ask MAID for more money for that. So this will be, it's a big project, it will be sort of £200,000-£300,000 in total, but that should hopefully start going ahead after April next year, and will be really quite a big improvement. course, with a big contribution of the school as well, mm-hmm. one should say.
Does that have to go, does that have to go, because I know with our LHI we have to do a consultation. That's the to improve the safety around the school. Does the one in Melbourne have to go to consultation as well?
I would think so, but
yeah.
Are you going to have to do something about access at the railway station? Because of if the kids go from the sort of up to Cambridge, do they then have to go back to Royston and then come back to get, if they're in wheelchair bound?
Well, the community rail partnership is working on the access issue, and we are working on the access issue on this side.
Yes.
So it's separate but connected.
You think something might happen?
Well,
It's going to be a bridge over the A10 at some stage. I mean, it's incredibly complex, and the amount of money just to put in a ramp But it's in the plan. You just have to hope the amount of land that's needed to get a ramp that goes in. I had never realised it was just so technical.
It's a shame we can't improve the crossing as well across the A10 between Mildreth and the other villages, so that kids can get across that main road a bit better.
Interesting
thought.
Okay, so in terms of them moving on, that's okay with everyone. The very last item is to confirm the date of the next meeting. Madam Clark, do you have any...
That's an ambitious target.
Do you have any suggestions, or would you rather do that by email?
I was hoping we could go for January so that we can get some traction on things like the job specification and getting things signed and a new chair and all those sorts of things. So if everybody was happy to bring one to January, I'll put some dates for.
And I just wanted to check with people about, I'm really mindful that Abby was at an evening meeting last night, she's at an evening meeting tonight, so was they don't get out.
This is us being out. This is our social life.
I think, Sally, I don't know how lucky we'll be to get officers at evening meetings, but we can... Sometimes they've been incredibly effective, depending on what we need. And obviously the connections bus, it might be tricky for them because they might be running a connections bus. But I think to begin with, we should carry on and see how we go with the evening meeting. Hopefully, by January, we'll have two more councillors from Melbourne Parish Council who are willing to attend as well. Because it does take some work to get some of these things through. So if we look for a 7:30 start on an evening sometime in January and Abby will circulate a Google poll or something for us. Is that okay with everyone? Lovely. Yeah. So all it does is leave me to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And thank you everybody for their time.
Thank you.
Can I bang it here, please?